The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, the Taboo series on TG Carr has been doing some excellent documentaries. Lots of personal stories from people who have been shamed online or whose family members have. And we're going to discuss what happens when somebody becomes the target and victim of online shaming. This programme that Ciara Nie is presenting is looking at some very sensitive and traumatic stories of those who've been victims of online abuse. There's the likes of Carl O'Reilly and Gary Stevens, both of whom are victims of sextortion. Mary O'Donnell, a beautician from Tralee, who went on the Today Show, and a video of a clip went viral, received over 1 million views online after she had a mishap while applying eyeliner to a model. And we have two guests with us. I'll be talking to Jackie Fox in a moment. Jackie's daughter, Nicole, died tragically as a result of online bullying. But I want to start first with Peter Hines, who is a dairy farmer from Amala in Cork, who won the Farmer of the Year in 2017. Peter, thank you very much for joining us. It didn't all go well for you, though, winning that award, did it?
Look, I suppose we had a fantastic time winning that award, and we started doing a lot on social media, and I suppose the knock-on effect of becoming popular on social media and getting a lot of traction is we ended up getting targeted by animal rights activists in a huge way.
Why? In what way did they come after you?
I suppose we were posting videos of what we do on the farm and photos of our kids on the farm enjoying life with the Jersey calves they show, and just day-to-day things that we do, just to share the story and get the message out to the public about what real life on a farm is like. And I suppose the animal rights activists in turn started to piggyback off that, putting up comments and videos of things that were happening in different parts of the world, throwing all sorts of insults at us, and I suppose generally just attacking us day in, day out.
And dragging your children into it too.
Yeah, they said, like, our five-year-old daughter, she's five now, Georgina, at the time she was showing a Jersey calf, and it was something she was very proud of, and I suppose for a four-year-old girl to go out showing a calf, and it was her best buddy, and next thing you've people putting up comments under pictures saying, why don't you take her to a slaughterhouse and see her calf being stabbed in the neck and all this sort of stuff, and just
bad, nasty stuff. And another thing, I mean, and I'm almost reluctant to bring this up, but I think it is important. I mean, you were at one stage, because you use artificial insemination, as so many farmers do, you were called a rapist and a Nazi.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest with you, I don't like it being brought up, because I think it's such a disgusting term to target a farmer with, and it's a huge insult to a lot of women that have gone through an ordeal like that to use that term so freely. I mean, at the end of the day, we artificially inseminate cows on the farm because, number one, it's the most efficient method of getting a cow back in calf, and number two, it's the kindest method of getting a cow back in calf. We inseminate her when she's ready to be served instead of having a team of bulls out in a field running around after her. And to put it into context, if you have one cow bulling on a particular day and you have 8 or 10 bulls out in the field, well, those 8 or 10 bulls are going to chase that cow for the day, where by artificially inseminating them, she gets stopped at the end of milking, she's inseminated back out into the field, she's back with the rest of the herd, her friends, she gets on with her grazing routine.
Peter, stay there. I'll come back to you in a little while. I want to talk to Jackie Fox, who's in studio with me, because you've had an even more serious consequence as a result of online bullying. You lost your daughter, Nicole.
Yeah.
I know it must be very difficult to talk about this, but I know you actually go out and campaign actively because you want changes to the laws in relation to online bullying.
Exactly.
What happened to Nicole?
Nicole was, a normal, bubbly, cheeky,
teenager,
ordinary, person. She was quiet. She was too trusting. She couldn't wait until she was 18 and start going nightclubbing, and that's when everything went wrong. It started off with two girls in particular, and which now one of the girls admitted that the bullying started off through jealousy. Nicole was, I know she's my daughter, but she was beautiful, going out, and she When it started off, the two girls got a crowd, and the crowd just got bigger and bigger of, you know, Nicole, it's disgusting. They used to put cigarette butts out on her in the nightclub. They'd drag her by the hair. They'd elbow her, give her an elbow in the face or the chest. They'd knock her to the ground, knock her drink off the table. But that was the physical abuse. But
and then what about the online stuff? Where did that happen?
The online, they made a group chat, like in WhatsApp, and, you know, it just got bigger. They all joined in, and it turned to go die, go hang yourself. They'd send her a picture of a rope on how to hang yourself. Slit your wrists. Everybody hates you. Nobody wants you here. Drink bleach. They annihilated her. They put up pictures on Facebook of, there was one picture with a girl's face blurred out, but she was having sex with someone at Clondalkin Garda Station, Clondalkin train station, and her face was blurred out, but they put it up and saying this was Nicole. And Nicole, she wasn't streetwise, you know, she never hung around and drinking, and she even turned around and says, "Mam, where is Clondalkin train station?" She didn't even know where the train station was. You know, she never harmed anyone. She never hurt anyone. All she wanted to do was go out and have a few drinks. She never got drunk because she always had to be aware of what was going on around her. And I begged her, please don't go out. And
it was terrible. I was reading that she actually had one suicide attempt, which she survived. Yeah. But that... that didn't stop the people responsible. When they actually knew this, how vulnerable she was, they just carried on anyway.
It was like they were claiming a trophy. She took an overdose in May 2015, and she was in hospital for 4 days. And when she came out, I was trying to build her confidence up, but it got out anyway that she had took the overdose. And the girls were saying, "Oh, Nicole took the overdose because of me." And the other girl says, "No, it wasn't. It was because of me."
They saw it as a prize trophy,
you know. But I thought Nicole taking the overdose was my worst nightmare. And I was so wrong with that. The next 3 years, it continued constantly, nonstop. Die, kill yourself, the threats.
Was she not able to block any of these people on social media? Was she able to report them to the social media providers?
We reported it, but you don't get anywhere. Nobody answers, nobody gets in contact. But the worst thing, see, when Nicole took the overdose in 2015, she had told me, "Ma'am, I don't want to be here anymore." And hearing that from your daughter, and she says, "Ma'am, the only reason why I can't kill myself is because I don't want to leave you heartbroken." And she hung on for me until they took everything. While they were on the online abuse, she got deeper and deeper into herself. She stayed in her room a lot. She was self-harming, which I didn't know at the start. Not with a knife, or she was digging her nails into her skin and tearing into her skin until she started tearing into her face. She couldn't express how unhappy she was, and I knew this day was going to happen. We went to the guards, and they also made a fake page on Facebook as well, called Saoirse, and this fake page said that they were going to kill her and put her on life support machine. Until one day...
Did you report any of this to the guards?
We went to the guards, and because Nicole had turned 18, she had to make
the complaint. Rather than you making it
Yeah, and then Nicole says, "This is bad enough without being a rat." Imagine going down to the nightclub or going down to the shop and then you're a rat. You're a rat as well.
Clearly, you were worried all the time. When she did die, I mean, I presume you were absolutely and remain heartbroken. Had you seen any warning signs in the days or weeks beforehand?
Well, warning signs was her telling me she didn't want to live. She didn't want to be here on a number of occasions. But when you say it, about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks before she died, she was coming out of herself. She started going out with my niece and her friends, but Nicola also knew, my niece's friends. And I used to never go to bed when she'd go out, and I'd be always on standby, and she could be out for an hour and she's right, "Mam, ring me, Mam, collect me quick." And I'd fly down. She could last 2 hours. "Mam, quick, come and get me." But she started to be happy going out to another place with my niece and her friends. I'd collect her one night, and I've never heard her laugh of such a great night she had. And I was saying, "Oh, brilliant.
She's coming out of herself."
Yeah, and she seemed to be. Now, she attempted her life on the 18th of January, just gone. But that was on a Thursday. And on the Wednesday, we went over to Liffey Valley, and she bought a new dress and a new top because she was going back out with my niece on Saturday. She had her eyebrows booked for the Friday. But I left the house at 3:20 on the 18th of January. I went to drop my son to work and went on to collect my other son from school. And when we got home at 4:20, my son, he's 14, the two of us walked into the hall together and found Nicole hanging from the banisters in the hall. I screamed to Lee to go and get help, and he was getting help, and I got on the ambulance and I was doing CPR, and I was begging her to hold on. She was still warm. She was, you know, The ambulance came and they were working on her in the kitchen for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, which seemed ages that they were working on her. And I'm going to say I was so lucky, and this is going to sound crazy, but I was so lucky that she didn't die then. We had 2 days with her in intensive care, 2 days for our family and her friends to come in and say she was never coming home. She had extensive brain damage. And then after the 2 days on the Saturday at 5:26, or just before she went, I said to her, "Just let go." And I said, "Nicole, just let go." I said, "Nobody's going to hurt you anymore. They can't hurt you." I said, "You know, just let go." And the minute I said those words and I gave her a kiss, then she passed away then.
You've been doing a lot of work in the last year, haven't you, to try and highlight the whole issue of trying to deal with online abuse.
Yeah.
Have you been getting anywhere with it, you think?
I have. At the start, I wasn't. There was nobody listening. The guards that came to the house came back to me and said, it's a very grey area. There is no legislation. There's no law for online bullying. There was a law, the Non-Fatal Act in 1997, which you couldn't text people on their phone and call them names. But Facebook only was launched in 2004.
And they haven't updated the laws to keep track with the technology.
No, and then since then you have like Snapchat and WhatsApp, and there's no law there at all. So when Nicole passed away in January, in February, I was either going to go mad or do something about helping or about getting a law in. So since then, I've campaigned and I've had protests there. Just the other week, I had a big march going through town, which was hundreds came. I was in the Dáil a good few times, and in the AV room, I did a powerful presentation, which actually, that was the start of them listening. They were hit by that. And at the moment, there is a legislation. I was in the Dáil again with Brendan Howland there 2 weeks ago, and he handed me the legislation, a copy of it. It's the stage two is completed. We're going into stage three now. I've also, this guy contacted me. He's a detective chief superintendent, and he's in charge of the National Protection Service Bureau. And this law that Brendan Howland gave me, that has to go to him. And he said he's going to rip it up and kick it around until that law is perfect. There is it's a huge news, but it's too late for me. But I started this campaign with Coco's Law. She was called Coco because my My 9-month-old nephew could never say Nicole,
okay,
and he could only say Coco, and that's how our name stuck with, yeah, Coco. So with Coco's Law, I put everything Coco's Law, and I got a text message from the Parliament saying that a name isn't normally named after a, yeah, law in Ireland, but they're willing to put it in the main big heading on the legislation to call it Coco's Law.
Jackie Fox, look, it's a terrible story to hear what happened, but what you're doing is terrific and hopefully other people will benefit from it. Mm. I'm sorry, Peter Hines, I haven't had time to go back to you. I'm sure you understand that. I mean, both of you are featuring in this TG Cahir programme tonight.
Tomorrow night, the Taboo series
on 9:30 at, yeah, TG Cahir tomorrow night. Peter Hines, thank you for joining us. And Jackie Fox, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about Coco.
Thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.